14. Now, as I read through my Bible and the many different ways, the many different, we've got devotionals and we have, you know, I want to study a certain book or a certain chapter or things like that. And as I'm reading through, I'll come across a verse that I'm thinking, man, I've heard that verse before. Several times. I've heard this verse. I've heard, you know, I've heard it referenced here or heard it referenced there. And this is one of those verses that you've just heard, okay? You've heard this verse. You may have even quoted this verse. And it's one of those things that I looked at it and I thought, okay, that's that verse. And the Lord just drew me right back and said, let's look a little deeper. Let's just take a look at this verse and let's break it down a little bit more. And let me show you something. And so today I just want to ask you, I always ask a question while I'm reading the Bible. And the question that was asked to me was, are you troubled? Are you troubled? Look at verse number 14, or chapter 14, verse number 1. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. And so as we look at this passage, and I know you've read it, you've seen it, you've heard it preached, and I have too, and this just that first verse, the Lord wouldn't let me get out of it. He just brought me back, kept drawing me back in. And so I just want to take a look at that, and from the first verse, and we'll just look at a few more verses, but I just want to think about that question. Are you troubled? Are you troubled? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you, and I thank you again for the opportunity to be here today, Lord. I thank you for the people that have come out expecting something from you, Lord. Help their hearts to get something. Help them to have truly want to hear something from you, Lord. Pray that you be with my voice and just continue to strengthen it, Lord. Just help me to say the words that need to be said, Lord, and that's it. Lord, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as I look at this particular verse and I think, okay, let not. And so first thing, if you do any type of Bible study, the best thing to do is to look at those words. Take a look at that word and just and look it up in a different way, okay? And so I look at this word, let not, and it's God forbid. And I thought, man, that's a lot stronger than let not. Let not. God forbid your heart, okay? And I think your heart. But it's a little deeper than that. Your thoughts, your feelings. God forbid your thoughts and feelings be troubled, okay? We think trouble. We think trouble is just, you know, an issue or something going on. No, this particular word in this particular passage, to stir or to agitate. So God forbid your thoughts and feelings be stirred up or agitated. Man, can each one of us understand that in everyday life? Okay, so I've only been here 2 weeks. And I understand stirred up and agitated on the 401, the 403, the 40, whatever you want to call it, as people are going past me fast. And I think, am I driving the wrong speed? I mean, I'm an American. I look at miles per hour, but I'm figuring out where the kilometers is. I see that. And so I'm trying to gauge it. And okay, I put the cruise control on and zoom, 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 zoom. They're just blasting past me. And I thought, man, I'm doing something wrong. I'm driving wrong. I'm doing, no, that's just the way it goes. So I know you understand being stirred up or agitated at times. A lot of traffic, okay? Yeah, a lot of traffic. But it's not only that, okay? It's not only that. How many of you ever been troubled as a child? You think, man, a child doesn't get troubled, right? There's no agitation in their life. Oh, man. We don't remember what it is to be a child. They've got those aggravations. Now, it's not the same thing as ours. We don't look at it the same way. You know, they get up in the morning, they can't find their shoes. It's the world has ended. My daughter, she can't find her brush. It's over. Life is over. I can't find my brother. She's aggravated. She's agitated. Things are going on, and you know, as a child, as a teenager. Oh my goodness. So, in how many days, son? What? I don't know. Eighth. So, 17 days. I'll have two teenagers in the house again. We got rid of the first two teenagers. They were good. But these teenagers are total opposites. My daughter is... don't look at me like that. My daughter, they love it when I use them as illustrations. Amen? No, they don't. My daughter, who is 14 going on 15, is very calm, relaxed, just looks at things very methodical. My son... there's nothing calm about that boy. Okay? So very different. Okay? But they have their own agitations, their own aggravations, their own things that they go through, thoughts and feelings. As a young adult, as an adult, I mean, just the things that we go through each and every day, the living life, there's agitations, there's problems, there's troubles. Sometimes they seem very big. Sometimes they're overwhelmingly big. But then some of them are just so small. And sometimes it's the small ones that really get under. You ever stuck something underneath your fingernail? That pain, okay? And you think, man, it's just a tiny little fingernail. How's it hurt so much? All those nerve endings are right there, okay? It's that small little thing that's just poking at you. Sometimes these things we deal with. As a kid, I was... My first BB gun. So I'm the oldest of four. I have three little sisters. I tried. I really did. I gave her a chance. She was running. I even gave her a head start. But I'm a kid. I got a BB gun, and she's a moving target. Okay, terrible, isn't that terrible? She's running around the building, and I come around and said, I'm going to get you, and honestly, didn't aim or anything. I just reached the gun around. It was one of those rifles. I just reached it around and just popped it, and I got her at the other end of the porch as she was going the other direction. There was a little trouble in that situation. So siblings have some troubles. Have some aggravations, some stirring going on. But let's look at this. Let's look at this passage of scripture and let's see if you're troubled. If troubles are going on in your life, how do you fix that? How do you get past that? How do you get on to the next step of life? See, if you stick on that trouble, you stick on that trial, you just hang on it, man, that's where bitterness just starts to creep in. And that's where you look at someone and you think, man, that guy just took my seat. That one right there, that guy, this one, that lady, that whatever it may be, the parking spot, who knows? But if you allow that to just fester and just sit on your heart and you think, no, that can't happen. No, that's how bitterness starts. And then bitterness gets into you like a deep root, and it's very difficult to dig out. It's very difficult if you don't see it happening. So take a look at verse 1 again. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I want to give you a couple different verses. Because as I said, let not means God forbid. God forbid. And I'm looking in my Bible and I thought, you know, there's a couple different verses here that we could go to with God forbid. Let me just read these for you. Let me go to the right verse first. Joshua chapter 22. Joshua chapter 22. And I just want you to understand how important let not is. Okay? Joshua 22 and verse number 29. I'm sorry, starting verse 28 says, therefore said we that it shall be when they should so say to us or to other generations in time to come that we may say again, behold, the pattern of the altar of the Lord which our fathers made not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifices, but it is a witness between us and you. God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord and turn this day from following the Lord to build an altar for burnt offerings, for meat offerings, or sacrifices beside the altar of the Lord of our God, the Lord our God, that is before his tabernacle." Joshua is talking to these to the people of Israel. He said, God forbid that we should rebel against the Lord. God forbid that happens in our life. We go on in Joshua 24, and we all know 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But I think the people got it, because the very next verse says, and the people answered and said, God forbid we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. It's so important to understand that God has something special in your life. Now, when things happen, when worries come into your life, my first point would be a troubled heart. A troubled heart. Are you troubled? Is there something going on in your life right now that you're allowing that trouble to just fester, to just sit there, just to continually draw from? It's one of those things that I've gone through, and all of us have gone through, and we've seen in our lives, and we've seen difficulties that we face and different things that we try to go through, and our heart, and we start worrying about things. And man, it's amazing to me that we put so much on ourselves. Just pile it on. And we forget. God can take care of that. God can. The hardest thing for me to understand was I can't. Man, I can. Hey, can you? Yes, I can. Can you do sheetrock? No, but I can learn. Amen? Can you do this? Can you do? Yes, I can. I can. I can until my fingers are bloody. I can. And God said, you can't. I said, no, God, I don't understand that. I can. There's a time in your life where you have to understand you can't. But God can. See, when you relinquish that, when you give that to God, when you take whatever that worry is, whatever that trouble is in your life, and you just say, I'm just going to give that to God and allow God to work that out. God forbid we hold on to our trouble. And we do sometimes. We just like to grab a hold of it and ride it. And I can't serve today because I have this trouble. And I'm holding on to this trouble with all my life, with all my heart. And I just, this trouble. And why? Just let it go. Lay it down on the altar and let it go. Look at that verse again. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? Ye believe in God. That word believe there means to commit, to trust, to entrust. Ye believe in God? Do you believe God can take care of whatever that is going on in your life? Do you believe? Can you trust God? The word trust is in the Bible 134 times in the Bible. You know, I look for the word worry. It's not there. But trust is, trust God. Let me read this passage, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." What are you doing? Are you trusting God? Are you trusting God to take care of whatever it is that's troubling your heart? Are you trusting God? Well, as you look at this verse and you think, let not my heart be troubled, if I believe in God, believe also in me. Whose words are these? This is Jesus Christ saying, look, don't let this trouble be everything about your life that focused on this particular trouble. Trust that God has it. But if you're trusting God, then trust me. Trust me also. It's amazing that Jesus says, put all your troubles, all your burdens on me. Just lay it on me. I got it. I can handle it. Your yoke, the Bible talks about your yoke is hard, but he said his is easy. Put it all on him. A yoke is amazing. Strapped to oxen to a cart with this yoke. And this thing is a big piece of massive wood. So not only does he have the yoke, but now he's got the burdens on top of it. He said, that's okay. I got it. I got this. Put it on me. So not only for a troubled heart, do we need to make sure we stay and understand that God has this in control? But because God has it in control, look again at John chapter 14. Because God has all this in control, we have this wonderful, awesome, this tremendous home being prepared for us. A tremendous home being prepared for us. Look at verses again. Chapter 14, starting verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He goes to prepare a place for us. See, when trouble comes in your life, are you prepared? Have you been preparing for the trouble that's coming? Say, how do you do that? I mean, you never know when it's going to happen. Well, you can prepare. This book is preparatory work for any trouble that comes in your life. Every day you should be in your book. Every day. This is not Sundays. This is not just the Sunday book that you get out on Sundays. This is not just the Wednesday book. This is not the book that's a decoration in your car. This is an everyday book. This is the book that will help you when that trouble comes. This is your preparation. This is what you should be doing each and every day. Every day you should be in your Bible, reading, trying to just study and see what God has to say about whatever it is going on in your life. Understanding that God already has it worked out. Isn't it amazing that God has every detail of our life worked out right here in this book? Now, it doesn't tell you that you need to move to Arkansas. I mean, you're not going to read in here, okay, now, brother so-and-so moved to Arkansas. You're not going to read that. But he's going to show you exactly what you need, no matter what it is. I'm telling you. To be a better dad, if you're struggling with that, you're a brand new dad, you don't know exactly what to do. Man, I remember, I didn't get saved till I was 28 years old. We had children. I was 20 going on 21. Our first child was born. I had no idea. That kid was a heathen, man. I mean, whew. And I thought, you know, he's just a little rambunctious. No, good night. You didn't know what you were doing, man. Just let that kid run all over the place. Right? We see that today? Those kids that throw tantrums in the store. Oh my goodness. I just want to whisper. Just take them to the bathroom and handle it. They won't throw a tantrum next time. But, you know, that's me. Preparation. Preparation has to take place. I don't know where I was going with that, so I'm going to come back. Are you preparing? Are you preparing for whatever trouble? We have a tremendous home being prepared for us. Is that a mansion? I can't even fathom a mansion. I've lived in a trailer, 14 by 70. Yay, man. Five kids, three bedroom, 14 by 70 trailer. Okay, I don't even know how to... That's 14 feet by 70 feet. I don't know how to fix the metric part of it. I'm sorry. That's a lot of people in one little house. Put it that way, okay? It was amazing how God took us from there and we got to move into a rental house with the job I was working in, and it was, man, it was big. It was, for us, it was really big. And then he moved us into a brand new home, never been lived in before. One of those things you dream about. For us, that was our mansion. Had an upstairs, 4 bedrooms upstairs, 1 bedroom downstairs, okay? The living room was decent, kitchen, tiny. The wife was like, it could have been a little bit bigger, but we got it for the bedrooms. We had lots of children. We needed bedroom space. But that was our mansion. That doesn't even compare to what God's preparing for us. I just can't fathom what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Get to see the things that he's done for us. I mean, he's a master carpenter. I mean, I know he could just look at the tree and go, house, and there would be a house. I understand that. But he's a master carpenter. He knows what he's doing. It's I can't wrap my brain around that. Preparation. Are you preparing? Are you preparing for whatever trouble may come through your life? Preparation, there comes a place. See, as preparation also is, are you preparing for the place that's coming? What is this place he speaks of? If I go and prepare a place for you, what is that? That's heaven. Heaven, walls of jasper, streets of gold, man, gates of pearl. I read that and it doesn't say gates of pearls. Okay? And you think, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Gates of pearl. A pearl made the gate. One. Just amazes me. Just that tiny, beautiful thing. And understand that God has such a wonderful place for us. Not only is you're preparing for that place, but there's a plan. God has a plan. He says, I go. I go. If I go, Jesus, the great carpenter. But what is your plan? So you have a troubled heart and things are not going right. They're not going the direction you want it to go. And you think, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. What is it that I'm... And we read here, well, there's a home prepared for us, but how do we get there? How do we get there? What's the plan? How do we get to this home? When do I get to see this mansion? Well, then we see the truth honored. Look at verse 5 through 7. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? How do we know? How do we know what direction to go? It says, Jesus saith to him, I am the way. Man. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way you're ever going to see heaven. Just one. Nothing added, nothing taken away. That's Jesus Christ. That's understanding that you must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. That's it. The Bible says there is no other way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's amazing that we see so many people out there, they want to work their way in. They want to give enough. Or I go to church every Sunday night, every Wednesday. I mean, I'm going to have to be able to go to church. We know that has nothing to do with going to, or I might have to go to heaven, but that has nothing to do with going to heaven, is going to church. Church will not get you to heaven. Right. Honestly, reading your Bible every day is not going to get you to heaven. Only accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That is it. That is the only way that you can get to heaven. That is the way. It is amazing to me. I am the way. Wow. That's it. But not only is the way, he says, I am the truth. Look at 1 John. First John chapter 5. Give you a second to get there. First John chapter 5. It's one of those books that's like in between. And so you pass it, you go back, and you pass it, and you go back. I've done it. First John chapter 5. starting verse number 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's the truth. The truth. See, I could give you all kinds of different scenarios, and I could give you illustrations, and I could tell you my opinion of everything. But I wanted you to hear the truth. And the truth is, only Jesus. Only Jesus will get you to heaven. You have to believe that he is. And we read three more verses for you. Verse 20, that same chapter says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Eternal life. We don't understand eternal. We think 70 is a long time. We think 100, man, that's a long time. Drop in the bucket of time. Eternal is forever. Eternal life. Isn't that amazing? That God gives us this opportunity for eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that verse. We've heard that one. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I don't know what it is in your life that troubles you. But I know for me, when things were just going crazy, and I didn't understand any of it, and I was trying to fill my heart with all the different things and trying to work hard enough and get accolades and put up awards on the wall and have people come behind me and pat me on the back and say, hey, great job, and all those things. I was just trying to fill my heart that was this big empty hole with whatever the world had to offer. It wasn't until, as a 28-year-old man, that I came to an altar, and a gentleman came up from this side of our church, brought his Bible, and showed me how I could know that I know that I know that I'm on my way to heaven. That empty spot in my heart, that thing that I kept trying to fill with everything of this world, was filled and overflowing. The Holy Spirit took up residence and said, now, here I am. You've accepted me, and now allow me to make some decisions in your life. Allow me to start pointing you in the direction. Listen to the still small voice that's inside of you that says that's probably not the right way you should go. That's probably not the right thing you should say. You probably should slow down a little bit, you crazy drivers. What is it? A troubled heart will keep you from a tremendous home that has been promised to us and the truth honored. Salvation is the first step in this relationship with Jesus. Without it, nothing else matters. Nothing. Do not let anything or anyone stop you from making sure you have accepted Christ as your Savior. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've heard about it. I've read it. You can be have come to church for 15, 20, no matter what. You might be born in this church, raised in the nursery, and been here 20 years. That doesn't mean you're saved. You have to have made the choice and accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You make that choice. It's not your parents' God. It's not your pastor's God. You make that choice. It's your relationship. It's a personal relationship between you and God. It's not about church, giving, serving, being a blessing to others, obedience to mom and dad. Those are all good things, but they're just not going to save you. They won't save you. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do not let another day pass without knowing the truth. Trouble in your life? Might be. You need to get something settled between you and God. That'll take care of some troubles. That'll get you on the right path. That'll allow God to start working some details out in your life. See, he's not going to work in your life if you don't want him in your life. Amen? Every head bowed, every eyes closed.